I welcome everybody in both London and Johannesburg to Investec's half-year results presentation. I think overall, if we look at the type of environment that we've been operating in over the past 6 months, or certainly the past few months, we've seen very volatile equity markets, a continuation of a rising interest rate environment, certainly in our key geographies. Credit market instability, I mean, every single day there's a headline of massive write-offs by various parts of banking groups around the world, and this graph or slide demonstrates what has happened to the ADX index since mainly the end of July. And then we traded in, although the rand was a little bit stronger at the end of the period, during its average was quite a lot weaker than the average of last year. I think 12.88 was the average for September 6th, and 14.22 or 14.21 was the average for September 07th. So we think that overall, our strategy of maintaining a balanced business model and diversified portfolio of businesses has held us in good stead. And as we said at our interim announcement, we had one area in our group that was very much affected by credit market conditions, but the rest of the group wasn't. We saw a very strong performance from South Africa and Australia. Last year, the UK performed particularly strongly, and I think its earnings doubled. This year, it was flat for the first half. But it did have a very solid performance, apart from our US principal finance division, which is part of our capital markets business, where you will note, if you've read the results already, we have quite a substantial write-down in our investment assets. We achieved all our stated growth and financial return objectives, and we continue to maintain disciplined risk management across all our organizations, all our businesses. Our operating profit before tax increased by 23.8% to £254 million. Attributable earnings up by 25% to £160 million, but adjusted EPS up 17.2% as a consequence of greater number of shares in issue, which was off the back of the Kensington acquisition. Dividend per share up 15% to 11.5p. Our core earnings, key earnings drivers, average core loans and advances. So we had average loans of 18% higher than the previous trading period, and that would drive our net interest account, and average third-party funds under management of just under 10% to £57.8 million from £52 million. Looking at our financial objectives, our EPS growth of target of retail price index plus 10 was exceeded quite comfortably, 17.2%. You can of that, our contribution from the UK and from Investec PLC was just under 39%, and from Investec Limited 61%. Return on equity up slightly, 23.9%. The UK and Europe at 13.4% was really affected by the write-offs that we took in the capital markets business. South Africa up strongly at 38.4%, and Australia also up strongly at 19.8% compared to the previous year. Our cost-to-income ratio, again, our target is below 65%. We probably will have to adjust this target because we have been consistently below 60% for a number of years, and at 58.9%. Again, UK and Europe up a bit at 68.3%, South Africa at 51.9%, and Australia at 50.9%, off the back of a very strong performance in that market. We remain very well capitalized, and if you look at Investec Limited, 13.7%, that had the Growthpoint transaction been implemented at 30 September as opposed to 18th of October, that number would have been up to about 14.7%. And Investec Bank Limited would be up at about 14.5%, and both Tier 1 ratios would be above our target of 10%. And PLC, 17.7% at Investec PLC level, with a Tier 1 ratio of 11.9%, and Investec Bank UK at 18.3% with a Tier 1 ratio of 11.5%. And Australia is still very well capitalized at 23.7% with a Tier 1 ratio of 19%. So right across the spectrum, we remain very, very well capitalized. Looking at divisional performance, all divisions grew except capital markets, and they were down 24%. Property was up 82%. Investec Asset Management up 14%. Private clients up 20%, and investment banking up 45%. Looking at the private bank, operating profit grew by 16.4%. Last year we had a very strong year in the UK. This year we were up marginally in the UK, but strongly in other geographies. We've continued to see greater penetration across all areas of specialisation, notably wealth management and growth and acquisition finance. We did see a very strong performance in South Africa and Australia, and as we said at the trading update, the UK is consolidating around previous levels reported after an exceptional year. The core loan book grew by 23.4%, and the core deposit book continued to grow by 24.7%. Our funds under advice grew by 53%, and our cost-to-income ratio improved to 52.5%. ROE was down slightly to 37.3%, and profit per employee down slightly to £42,400. Looking forward in the private bank, we do have a reasonably good economic outlook both in South Africa and Australia, and that could sustain our pipelines and the levels of activity, notwithstanding the fact that interest rates have risen quite significantly in those particular markets. We think that the short-term outlook in the UK should be tempered by the credit crisis. However, we have built strong platforms that should enable long-term growth. But certainly in the short term, we think it will be the performance of this area will be affected by what is going on in global credit markets. Overall, the private bank contributed 35% to group profits. Our private client portfolio management business had very strong growth, 47.5%, and that was both in our associate Rensburg Shepherd and the South African business. It's driven off the back of increasing funds under management of about 10% from March, and in South Africa, certainly the launch of a number of new products, increased volumes and higher asset levels, and an increase in the proportion of discretionary funds under management. So overall, the private client businesses did do particularly well this period, and we expect them to continue to do reasonably well going forward as they benefit from a higher asset base, and although revenue from stockbroking and execution activities may increase at a slower rate. They contributed collectively 5.9% of group operating profit. Our capital markets business was down 24%, and I'll deal with that in a moment as to where the problem was. Overall, the advisory structuring and asset creation activities continue to perform quite well, notably in South Africa and Australia, and the equity finance business in Ireland performed particularly well. We have benefited from the Rothschild acquisition in Australia, and I think it's given us a new platform and a whole new product set, and we're starting to see the benefits of that. The results were adversely affected by the performance of our US principal finance division, which we've had to make a write-off of about £36 million, which was a lot higher than we anticipated at the time of the trading update, and that's mainly as a consequence of rating downgrades that took place in the month of October. And the acquisition of Kensington was included in these results during this period, and it was effective on the 8th of August, and its income generation was about £4.6 million. So if we look at the current exposure to US structured rated and unrated investments, it's £81 million, that was at the end of September. Of that, £53 million is exposed to the subprime market, the rest is exposed to normal corporate type activities, and we don't really see a problem with that part of the portfolio. So at 30 September, our residual exposure to subprime was 33. We since restructured and it's a bit lower at about £29 million. And we have assets held for securitization, which are European assets, of £207 million. Looking at Kensington, the reshaping of the business continues. We've cut overhead, and are in the process of cutting overhead. We've tightened the lending criteria quite significantly. We've increased pricing to recognize the greater cost of liabilities. The adverse new business volumes are down significantly post-period end, but we've maintained for volumes at a reasonable level in the prime space, which is mainly subject to sales under forward flow agreements. The operating profit I mentioned was £4.6 million. All our forward flow agreements are still operative and they are contractual for 2 years, or probably 18 months to run. Majority of warehouse facilities have either been renewed or in the process of being renewed. Clearly, we have very challenging credit market conditions, and those have had to result in a significant restructuring to maintain the platform so that when credit markets come back, we'll be in a position to take advantage of that. We also are trying to get further efficiencies through more automation across the operating model. If you look at its mortgage assets under management, they have declined from £6.9 billion to £6.5 billion. The securitized portfolio is down from 6, it comes back at you very, very quickly, £6.1 billion to £4.9 billion. And the warehouse book has increased from £833 million to £1.6 billion. And that's because securitizations haven't happened since the end of July. Our weighted average loan to values have continued to improve at 68.3%, and that includes house price inflation. And the percentage of accounts in arrears also have improved from 9.4% to 9.1%. So Kensington right now operationally is quite a well managed business, but it's faced clearly with very challenging credit market conditions. If you look at the outlook for our capital markets business, clearly UK and European securitization markets are still more or less closed. There have been one or two securitizations over the last while, but it's still not an active market at this point in time. And global liquidity levels will impact very much on levels of activity, in particular in the UK. South Africa remains fairly buoyant, and that's really due to the fact that corporates and government have embarked on massive infrastructure spending, which is taken over basically from the consumer, which is necessary for that economy to continue to grow. Overall, capital markets contributed 17.8% of our operating profit. Looking at investment banking, operating profit is up quite substantially, 45% to £51.9 million. Agency and advisory profit was down by 8.7% to £15.4 million, and that was really affected by two things. We had a poor performance in one of our trading activities in South Africa, and the unbundling regulations that have affected the business model, where you now may not get brokerage for providing research, you get paid separately for research. We continue to have a strong performance from our private equity and direct investment portfolios as the underlying assets continue to perform particularly well, many of which are related to infrastructure type investments in South Africa, and we expect them to continue to perform well over the next few years. The outlook for investment banking, I think whilst market conditions are uncertain and fairly volatile, our deal pipeline is very good across the spectrum, and that should enable us to sustain momentum. We continue to build value in our direct investments in private equity portfolios, independently of realizations and market conditions, and that's part of our strategy to build up those platforms, and we have continued to remain active in seeking appropriate investment opportunities. Investment banking contributed 21.4% to overall group profit. Our asset management business increased by 13.5%, very strong performance in the UK, a flat performance in South Africa. As we said before, the difference between the two businesses is our UK platform is a growth business, South Africa is a mature business, and therefore its growth rate is expected to be lower going forward, but the UK we believe will continue to grow quite strongly. We have had a continue to have a solid investment, long-term investment performance, and we have significantly widened our distribution reach. We also benefited from pretty good retail inflows in the UK at £550 million in the period, and in South Africa about 4 billion rand. Total assets under management increased by 5.9% to just under £31 million. And our cost-to-income ratio 64% and ROE 49%. So business is in good shape, and we believe that it will continue to grow and develop. So overall, momentum across the businesses remain very positive. Our long-term track record and growing demand for specialist high-performance products continue to support the fundamentals. We've also decided to establish a presence in Australia, and that office will open up in the not-too-distant future, leveraging off already the existing brand developments that have taken place in Australia. It also contributed, as normal asset management always contributes, about 14 to 15% of operating profit this year, 14.9%. Our property activities have obviously been through some restructuring because of the sale of the administration business to Growthpoint. But during this period, we still own Growthpoint, so the administration activities, so we still have to report on that. And during the period, clearly we benefited from higher funds under management, we benefited from realizations, and a very strong contribution from our investment portfolio, which is in essence a South African portfolio, and the property fundamentals in South Africa remain very solid. Operating profit is up 81%. Our funds under management is up 27%. That was prior to the sale of Growthpoint to £1.9 billion. Cost to income ratio 50% and ROE 80%. We are intending, and we have started, establishing a fund in the UK for our private clients to invest in real estate opportunities around the world. And likewise, we've launched a property fund in Australia for our private clients to invest in property assets in Australia. Post the Growthpoint transaction, we would have two businesses, a property investment banking business and a property fund management business, including the management of listed property funds, which we did not sell, and a private equity style property funds like we've launched in the UK and Australia. Overall, it generated 4.7% to our operating profit. We look at group services and other activities. Our trade finance business generated 42.7% growth to £3.1 million as they continued to add new clients off the back of a strong South African economy. Central funding was up significantly as a consequence of much higher cash and cash reserves, 131% to £37 million. So a very strong increase in net interest income, as over the years we sold assets out of our life fund, and then central services increased marginally as a consequence of a headcount increase, 3.5%. The effect of the tax rate came down quite significantly to 25%. That's mainly in the UK and Europe, where we generated income in some lower tax jurisdictions. The earnings attributable to minority interests arises from the consolidation of investments in our private equity division, and we have to take out the minority share of those investments, which was £5.7 million. And then we have this hedge of our perpetual preference shares, which profit was in the operating line. And this year, because of the change, the euro against the sterling, the loss was taken out of private, out of minorities. Overall, our asset quality continues to remain good in our core business. I've given you the details on Kensington. We keep the loan portfolio separately so we don't lose perspective. Our default loans came down slightly from £123 million to £119 million. Our net default loans was down to 35, that was up slightly from 29 to £35 million, and our gross default loans as a percentage of core advances came down from 1.23 to 1.01%. So we're not seeing any issues on the credit front at this point in time, as our books continue to perform particularly well. On the liquidity front, start point give you what's happened in September. We continue to see strong cash positions across all our group. South Africa has almost got 40 billion rand of liquidity, UK and Europe 2.4 billion pounds, and Australia 1.1 billion pounds, all of cash and near cash as at the most recent, as at yesterday morning. I think the balanced portfolio of our businesses, and this graph from 2000 demonstrates the sustainability of our business model. And you can see that 55% of our revenue comes from our private client and asset management activities, which are less volatile, and the balance of revenue would come from clearly the more volatile parts of our business, which don't move in straight lines. But certainly, our balanced portfolio of businesses has held us in good stead for a number of years. We look at the mix between risk-taking and third-party and advisory. 46% of our revenue came from third-party assets under management and advisory, and the balance from 53.5% from proprietary risk lending money and principal positions. 37% is net interest, and 17.5% principal transactions. 36% is interest. If we look at our jaws ratio, we still manage to grow income at a faster rate than expenses over since March 2000, and still looking like the crocodile got its mouth open. So we hopefully will continue to maintain the ratio of growing income faster than expenses. Getting back to how we see life going forward, I think the outlook clearly is very mixed. All the geographies that we operate in are behaving differently. Strong commodity prices have supported and continue to support growth in both South Africa and Australia. And those economies, Australia's economy is expected to grow at about 4%, South Africa at around about 5%. And South Africa is going to see a shift from consumer-led growth to infrastructure and corporate-led growth. And that's the transition that is taking place in that economy. Clearly, in the UK and Europe, we expect to experience tougher times as the economy slows due to credit market uncertainty. We do remain well diversified, both geographically and operationally, and we continue to be well capitalized with strong risk management disciplines and good platforms for growth in place when markets actually return. So overall, we feel that we're in a reasonably comfortable space, although we do expect market conditions to be fairly tough in certain parts of where we operate. That's the end of the formal presentation. We now can take questions. I'll start off in London. Any questions in London? Okay, well, no questions. Johannesburg? Andy? Are they on the box? There we go. Easy. What? Yeah, you. You've gone again.
Okay, are there any questions from here? This is Wayne Dodger. I've just got a question with regard to your private banking outlook comments. You said that the short-term outlook could be tempered by the current credit crisis. Can you just maybe expand on that, just explain if that funding-related issues or potential spillovers into property market or what exactly you mean by that?
Well, it's very clear. I mean, this is UK. This is specifically related to the UK. And you clearly have very difficult credit market conditions in the UK and in the first world. You know, obviously South Africa and Australia at this point in time are quite different. So we think that levels of activity will be lower and that you'll have much less turnover. In other words, exits will take longer to be affected. So that's really the comment. is that we expect to see lower levels of activity, whereas historically we've had quite a churning type book. We'd expect the book to churn at a slower rate. Okay, boys. Where are you going? What's wrong with this kit? Why can't you put the picture up here?
Are there any more questions from David? Huh? Didn't the kit save you?
Sorry? Now we can't see you guys, it's quite disconcerting. We don't know if you're hearing us or what. Where's Rudy?
What? Even the delay in the speech.
Ah. No, because they're using the stupid radio instead of the thing.
I don't think any more questions from Derek.
Is Ruby not there, Andy?
Can't see him yet, Stephen.
Ah, okay. Because he's never not asked a question. teleconference?
Our first question comes from the Bullhound announcer of BJ. Please go ahead.
Traffic's still bad.
Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Bullham. Bullhound. Sorry.
Stephen, you mentioned that the securitization market is currently closed, so I'm just interested to know what is currently happening to the assets created by Kensington. Surely it's not all going onto your own balance sheet.
No, they're going to warehouse lines.
Which means?
That's where they're going.
And what are the prospects of getting them out in the short term?
Well, it depends when the markets come back. So, we're expecting markets to start coming back sometime this year. And then they'll move out of the warehouse lines.
And until then, the activity level in Kensington is presumably going to be very
The most of the stuff that Kensington currently originates is for its whole loan sale program, which is contractual. So the amount of actual volume written in the space that would stay in the warehouse lines is very low.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Lewis of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. I was just a similar question, I guess, on the warehouse line that you there for Kensington. But just to be clear, that 1.6 billion sterling that is now in the warehouse book, what's your economic risk exposure there? Is it none? Is that held with the guys at your warehouse to pick?
Well, those are actually consolidated onto the balance sheet, but the lines are non-recourse, and they are first loss pieces in those lines.
Okay. So even though that's risen materially from 800 to 31st March, the figure is still focused on is that 170 million odd in first loss exposures.
The 170 is in the securitization. I think it was 30 something million pounds, 37 million pounds of first loss pieces supporting the warehouse lines.
Okay. So the total first loss then is the sum of those two, the 170 and the 30?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
There are no further questions from the conference call.
Okay, one more round. Any more questions anyway? Yeah, we've got a question here in London.
Yeah, thanks. It's Chris Smith from Royal Securities. Just sorry to carry on Kensington. Could you just, what the rationale for the deal initially was that Investec could fund cheaper than Kensington itself. Has that rationale been erased by what's happened in the markets? And secondly, what can you give us a bit more colour for next year on the figures from Kensington? I mean, do you think that there's a possibility of things deteriorating further in a P&L sense?
So let's answer the first question first. Clearly, credit market conditions are totally different to what they were when we bought them, and that no one would be funding cheaper at this point in time because credit market conditions are totally different. So that was a rationale, but that rationale obviously is not working in this credit environment. Secondly, I think we made a statement at the trading update that we would expect Kensington's profitability to be significantly less than what it was at the time, what we thought it would be at the time of the acquisition. And you've seen the numbers come out for the first 2 months. It's hard to call exactly whether that will be the sustainable number or not, because a lot depends on how current market conditions are going to roll out. So one will have to see how market conditions roll out, whether securitization comes back or not. Certainly there's a back book which is quite profitable and generates quite a lot of revenue, but that back book runs down over probably 2 years. So a lot will depend on whether the business model comes back when securitization comes back.
Thanks so much. Do you mind if I just start off on a different subject? Just on property, thanks very much for all the information there. What is your view? I mean, there are a lot of concerns, both in terms of property investments and in property generally, mostly obviously in the first world. How do you view 08 in terms of both potential redemptions and in terms of prices, in terms of Investec and exposure?
Well, it depends on which geography you're in. I mean, clearly, you've got much tougher conditions in the UK to any other parts of the world we operate in. So, at the moment, we're not seeing any kind of dramatic shift. Certainly, you've seen commercial property listed stocks come down quite a lot, but in the physical economy, it's more stable. I mean, yields have ticked up, but a lot of our clients left the UK a few years ago in terms of the transactions that they looked at. So we tend to follow our clients. Questions. One more chance there, Andy.
We have one more question from the conference call. And this question comes from Taro Goto of Lehman Principal. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
So, last question on Kensington. You mentioned that due to the changes in the capital market, that the expected profitability of Kensington is probably not the same as when you first purchased the company back in April. I believe the amount of equity you invested in the company was about £300 million.
220.
Yes. Are you going to be taking a write down on this equity amount investment in Kensington?
We've done an impairment test, and it has been audited, and it was not necessary to make a write down.
I see.
Now, obviously, you do that impairment test every time you announce results. So we'll continue to do the impairment test going forward. But right now we've done an impairment test and it was not necessary to mark down.
Oh, sorry, one more question on the portfolio. You mentioned portfolio of Kensington that has been securitized over the years, and then also the £1.3 billion of warehouse. Are there any contingent obligations where the bank, which they're warehouse with, can put the portfolio back to you?
No.
Such as pickup standards.
No.
No. That's great. Thank you.
Okay. If I ask him the question, I'll ask more about Kensington. What I worried about is Kensington. It's 5% of what we do. Any question other than a question on Kensington? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.